Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat smiley face. Was I supposed to say that?
Yep.
I supposed to act that out?
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Step right in. Come one, come all. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is George, creator of TradeProAcademy.com. How are you doing today, George?
Hey, Dan. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on. This is an honor and a pleasure, and I'm going to make Kyle regret the decision to let me co-host. I love your guys' intro, by the way.
I don't know anybody named Kyle. I don't know. This is a great bit that George does all the time, that he's just guesting. So glad to be here. Come on in the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way in a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut losses. And if you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, this probably isn't the best place to start, but we do have you covered. You can go check out our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com or give any of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But really, we think the best place to be is on our Discord server. We're on there every day. It's just a really awesome place to be, sharing our charts and our tips and talking the news. And when you do sign up, make sure send us a private message with your mailing address. We can send you a smash it yourself mug or shot glass straight from the shop. We're just so glad you're here. We always have a lot of fun. It's always better with friends. So, George, you got any show news for us?
I lost my virginity.
Congratulations. I'm sure it didn't come cheap.
I had to withdraw from my trading account for the first time. You know what? I have no special news. I think this is a great time to be on the show because I know that a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about some of our challenges. And I am coming off a pretty challenging week.
Yeah.
So I think it's always good to talk about it and share it with people. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, I get that's news, I guess.
Dan. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we do have the month in review episode coming up this week. It's the end of August. We'll be doing a recap on the whole month of August. Yeah, exciting stuff. Way to describe that, Dan. We just recorded a guest episode with the guys from the BHCast, BHH cast. That was really fun. Some amateur investor guys, retail, following hot meme stocks. Good times, good talks. They are hilarious. We've got an interview with Shahar Abrams on September 15th, and Dr. Adams, the CEO of VentraPoint Diagnostics, we're scheduling a time with him, but he has confirmed he's going to come on the show. They are a very exciting small cap company. They do heart imaging, like live in the moment heart imaging. Wow. We're going to get to talk to the CEO of that company, so we're all really stoked about that.
They must be busy these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the heart imaging stuff. But yeah, you guys, that's an awesome lineup. Can I just give a quick kudos here? I think this is probably the best time spot. I think what you guys are doing with Kyle on this podcast is fantastic. I really love it. I love everything from the name to what you guys do. Like, this is, if you guys are listening to the show, it's, you know, be thankful for it, because you don't see a lot of honesty in this industry. And what you guys are doing, just like having fun with it, being real, this is gold. So if you're a listener, hey, you know, like, you found the right spot.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I've certainly spent a lot of money for this show. That's for sure. I've handed a lot of money over to more successful traders just for your entertainment.
And worth every penny. It's just a loan, Dan. You're going to get all that back and more, man.
And that's my personal show news, is I have put in notice at my 9-to-5 because I'm ready to trade full time. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Yay! Freedom Day! Congrats, Dan.
I should have put together a tune for that, but I did not.
That's like such big news that there's almost no tune worthy of that. You know, it's like, it's a silence moment.
Yeah, yeah. Let's all take a moment of silence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's always good. Good broadcasting tip. A moment of silence. We actually did get a voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Kyle, longtime listener, first time caller. I was calling to give a quick shout out to George. You know, don't fuck up my best pick, and don't do too good, because I'd like to still have a job when I get back. Take care, boys. Great show.
Well. Kyle, longtime listener, I'm disappointed you didn't leave us your address to send you a shot glass. So if you're listening, Kyle, reach out to George, give him your address, we'll get you a mug or a shot glass straight from the shop.
Yeah, Kyle, your severance pay is in the mail for the show. It's over, buddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I love the possible target he gave me. He's like, you know, don't screw it up, but don't do too good. It's like, come on, Kyle. Like, I live on the extremes. You're not giving me an option here.
Break even, George. Break even.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfectly sideways for the week. That's what we look for here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, folks, we have a delirious, delightful, delicious, dare I say, show for you today. Lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than, oh, I didn't think of a good one. More options than a one-legged cowboy buying blue jeans. Yeah, see, I can recycle some old ones because you haven't heard them.
No way you didn't write that.
I wrote that. It was an old one I recycled for you because I didn't write a new list.
It's great. I had to think about it for a second before I laughed.
Get anyone you want. Oh, yeah. And as always, reach out to us, folks. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, on Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or we always love a good phone call to 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you and a friend have duped some old orange futures traders into taking the opposite position and made them really poor old men. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out. That one was for you, George. I just watched the lesson where you showed a clip from Trading Places.
Yeah, that's so good. Corner of the OJ futures market. Now the phone line's going to blow up with that invitation there, Dan.
Well, we got a call last week, so, and the week before, so we're doing all right. Doing all right.
This is great. Are you doing it like live on the show for call-ins?
No. I have that number for people to call and leave a message.
That is epic. I love that level of interaction. Going back to the beginning thing that I said of you're at the right place listening to the right podcast, that solidifies it. That's a stamp right there.
I always love being able to put somebody's voice on the podcast.
That's what's cool about this industry is that, like, you don't really get a lot of people's phone numbers, right? Everything's so online and you can't really interact with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We open up a phone line for support and we would get a lot of calls where people would just say, hey, just wanted to talk to somebody. And I was like, cool. Hey, you know, what's your favorite color? But that's amazing that, like, you know, you guys are doing that. The industry is very closed off to inbound, like, voice conversation. I've found not many people have an outlet like that. So this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Call it up sometime.
I'm going to call in. For sure. When I'm short, I'm going to call in with some disastrous news so I can make some money.
Right.
Use this to my advantage.
I'm long on BlackBerry, and I did find myself yesterday texting with a friend that invests, and I was like, well, you should buy some BlackBerry. And then I stopped and I thought, I'm like, well, I'm saying that because if you buy BlackBerry, it'll help it go up and it will be to my benefit because I already own BlackBerry. But you should buy some BlackBerry.
Yeah. Help me help myself by buying some BlackBerry.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me laugh when I realized that's what I was doing. But I was also, you know, genuinely, we'll get to that in the news. But, you know, as you know from our bet, oh, it's time to talk about our bet. The month of August ended. I mean, I guess we got 3 days, but we usually will end it on the weekend for the sake of the show. The random picked VOD, which opened at $16.94, closed at $17.23. Not enough to get over Kyle, who shorted Marriott, but he had $132.30 stop loss at $133, which triggered, but he only lost a couple dollars, and he wins the month. I guess that means you get to give me the bet consequences, George. So make them light, make them easy breezy.
Oh, I get to do bet consequences.
No, that's not fair to Kyle. it would be funny though.
Don't take away his joy and pleasure.
Yeah, he's yelling right now as he listens to this. Once it's aired, he's like, "What? No, those are my consequences to give." And Dan knows we give them on the month in review show.
that's true.
But yeah, so stay tuned to that show, folks. I'm sure Kyle has some dastardly things in mind for me to do in September.
I heard that's why he took the day off of podcasting. He's thinking of the consequences. He's got a whiteboard somewhere thinking of some evil things.
You know, he probably is, that son of a bitch. He's visiting his dad. They're probably scheming together. Oh, damn it. Yeah. So stay tuned to the end of the episode. We will be making some bet picks, and that will be fun for George because he will be making a bet pick here with us in the shop. Anyway, I think it's time to move on to talk about some news.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about.
Uh-huh. As you can tell, we like classic rock here in the shop.
Very well done, Dan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. So, George, I believe there was a big thing that happened this week. The Fed Chairman Powell, something about his Jackson Hole.
I never heard of that. Wait, what? Who's no? I'm just, yeah, that was massive. I mean, the markets were like waiting for this event all week, right? There was not much volatility. Things were quiet for the first time in a long time. The market did nothing, and I think people were panicking, right? Because we're used to a lot of movement, but it was a very highly anticipated event, Dan. I guess we should we talk about it?
Absolutely. That's what the news is for.
JP at the J-hole is how I kind of call it at TradePro. And Jerome Powell, this Jackson Hole thing actually happens in person. So this is the second year in a row. It happened virtually. It's a virtual conference due to COVID. And it was sort of, they dialed in, which was interesting. But that's not really the big news. There was a lot of expectation that was baked into the market for Jerome Powell to announce a tapering schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And now what tapering basically is the Fed's way of removing liquidity for the market, which means tighter liquidity, tighter conditions for money, more fear in the marketplace. So there was a lot of expectation for him to taper or to announce a schedule for tapering. I think that's what was kind of worrying the market, why it was such an important event.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came due to it and he started talking at 10 a.m., did say something that threw me off completely. And I ended up shorting and making a little bit of money on the downside. But then it kept going up afterwards. So he said these three words. He said in his view that substantial further progress has been met for his inflation goals and progress towards maximum employment, which would mean, you know, substantial further progress from a Federal Reserve chair is a very committal form of language. Yeah. They usually say it might, maybe, probably not, you know. So that statement there tells you that they're getting close to needing or getting the reasons that they need to start tightening their the liquidity and unwinding their portfolio. So that kind of was the initial reaction to the downside. You guys remember when it first came out, the news, the market sold off for a little bit and pretty hard.
Yeah.
And then reverse course, it kept going up. Yeah. And I think that's what it was, Dan. He caught people a little bit off guard. But then as he continued to talk, he said that, you know, substantial further progress was made. And then these are the words that caused the reverse and turnaround back to the upside. But he said, for now, the policy is well positioned, meaning that what we have going at the moment is good where we are. Therefore, he's not going to announce a taper schedule. He's not going to commit to any pulling back of stimulus at this meeting. And that's where it opened up the floodgates for people to buy. It's like, look, we're making progress. It's been made, but we're not changing the policy here today. And as soon as that came out, the market ripped the new all-time highs.
Yeah. No, I watched.
Yeah. And we were day trading it. So obviously there was some money to the downside, but then, you know, I kind of traded it bad, Dan. I actually had a negative day on Friday and decided to not keep going. I was like, I anchored to substantial further progress and I shorted it, made some money on the short, went up, shorted it again, got stopped out. And I did a third short. And then I'm like, look, at least I was smart enough to recognize, look, I'm fighting this thing. And if I'm fighting it, is there a good reason? No. So I just backed off the trade and took the loss and finished the day. I'm like, I'm not in a position to do this anymore.
I'm right. The market's wrong.
Yeah. That's always cost me money, that frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, the experience comes in where you look at it and then you start catching those moments. It's okay to have a losing day. I don't think having a losing day is a bad thing for any trader. They happen, those losing days, but it's not okay to keep doing a stupid thing over and over and over when it's not working. And so after three shorts, one paid, two didn't, I was like, okay, like this is it. I'm done. I clearly don't want to get long because I keep shorting.
Yeah.
But just because I don't want to get long doesn't mean I have to be short either. And so I just called it a day.
Called it a day. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a good decision. Would have lost a lot more.
So you think that they're just kicking the can down the road? Like the tapering is going to happen. It's just not yet. Is that that's the takeaway from the Jackson Hole?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're setting the meeting up for November. That's the next one that's going to be super important. And that's like it, reading it, what these, you got to remember, the Fed is members who vote on it, and Jerome Powell's like the chair of it, but the decision process isn't just his own. It's all the voting members go in, they meet, and you have to kind of follow what they're saying as well, the voting members. And a lot of the voters are ready for tapering. It's just, I don't think they're going to do it at Jackson Hole. I think they're going to do it at their own Fed event. So it is coming. And I think what this sets up here, Dan, is a super big importance for the next non-farm payrolls event and the next inflation data point. Like, the market will now be super fixated on inflation. And inflation comes in higher, or the jobs market blows out and has a really good report for the month of August, which, hey, that's coming up next Friday, right? That on the 3rd of September. It could be one of those things where it's a really good news event, but stocks go down on it because it's like, okay, crap, they are going to taper.
Yeah.
I think it's setting up a very interesting dynamic here into next week, the next couple of weeks before that next Fed meeting.
Okay. Well, as longtime listeners know, I've been watching the inflation data and saying over and over and over again, this is going to catch up with us. There's no way we can dodge the impact of the COVID inflation. I don't think it's possible.
I'm with you 100%. You know, just because you're not acknowledging it doesn't mean it's not happening. I think with inflation, it's like people are saying, oh, there's not inflation. It's like, well, what are you looking at, right? Like, the numbers are there, and you see, you know, you see inflation being hidden in very creative ways, like toilet paper manufacturers, paper towel manufacturers, decreasing the number of sheets in their rolls, for example.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know. I don't know if you count your toilet paper squares when you use them. I don't.
I do a 3-square maximum each wipe. Oh, that's not what you meant in counting.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
That's so wasteful. 3 squares per wipe. That's.
Yeah. I'm a filthy American. What are you going to do?
SPW. We have a ratio, square per wipe. But, you know, these creative ways of masking inflation, it doesn't mean it's not happening. And I can tell you factually that on the institutional side, on the big portfolio manager side, this is one of the big worries still, is this increasing inflationary environment. And even though it's being shrugged off and it's being hidden in the manufacturing process, it doesn't mean it's not there. And it doesn't mean that the big money isn't worried about it. It's just, it's not a problem for right now. It's coming down the road. So right now, it doesn't justify getting rid of your whole position, shorting everything. It's just the can, you said it very well, the can is just getting kicked down the road here. And it's going to be interesting next couple months, especially if we have a lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, another lockdown is going to throw everything sideways for sure. Everything's going to get weird. But I think we're really seeing the place that they can't hide the inflation is the real estate market. The price of housing has just gone through the roof. And we had a guy on here, and Dr. Hans, and he was really big on the macroeconomic stuff. And he described it as like, no one's asking why real estate prices are going up so much, because they want to keep the party going.
Exactly. And look at what's happened in real estate. Like BlackRock has acquired so much real estate. It's like, this is one of the biggest transfers of wealth from the everyday person to the corporate entities is real estate. And people don't realize that, like, from 2009, the housing bubble, people have lost home ownership. Home ownership rates are going down.
Yeah.
Right. Number one, it's unaffordable. Number two, it's starting to transfer from the people, the everyday person, to balance sheet and corporations. And, you know, and the other thing driving this is the free money. Like, people don't realize that the Fed hasn't gotten out of providing stimulus. Like, this is a 12-year party where the punch bowl keeps getting filled up over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Wait until people have to drive home from this party. There's going to be accidents.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great analogy. Oh, that's a great analogy. Well, moving on to, I don't know if you've got any other big stories, but the one I was really itching to talking about was one that came out yesterday. I read it on thehackernews.com. Looks like Microsoft and Google have announced a $30 billion investment in cybersecurity over the next 5 years.
I didn't hear that. That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just two of the big ones. Apple is working with more than 9,000 of its suppliers to push for mass adoption of multi-factor authentication. IBM's training 150,000 people in cybersecurity. Amazon is making their Amazon Web Services account holders get multi-factor authentication. We saw this huge, huge push. And they're partnering with the U.S. government to address like all the cybersecurity threats facing us. This was all announced at a White House cybersecurity meeting, which had all these execs there. And I read this and I got so excited, because I don't know if you're aware of this, George, up in Canada, there's a little company called BlackBerry that I myself have many options calls on, and they may have pivoted to cybersecurity, and they are very well positioned now that we're getting $30 billion fresh dollars in the industry.
Yeah, I love that BlackBerry got rid of their hardware operations. Like, that wasn't their strength, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But their infrastructure, the things that they still own on their balance sheet is a huge opportunity. And, you know, like, this whole cyber security push leaves a lot of opportunity to buy the smaller companies that are contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest, like Apple, yeah, they'll develop some of it, but they're probably going to acquire companies and technologies to make this push even faster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something I was following when those oil pipelines got hacked, remember? And they asked for a bounty in Bitcoin, and they actually received it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, once somebody starts paying off those bounties like that, or those, you know, asks from hackers, it just invites more hacking.
Yeah. You
know, like,
oh, yeah.
This is a way to get paid.
Right?
Yeah.
Give me some of that untraceable Bitcoin. Though I feel like that's going away. But
so I started to learn how to hack.
You should. You know what the crazy thing was is, you know, Kyle and I did computer science back in school, and we were learning programming. And I looked into hacking, and it's really just con artistry. There's no like, oh, he knows code and he can write a program to crack open. Well, yeah, some people do that. But 99% of what we call hacking is somebody tricking another human being into giving them a password.
Yeah, it's like, here, open this picture that's a .exe file, and then I'm going to open your CD-ROM drive. Like, is that really hacking? Like, yeah, you know, right. What's funny? I was in comp sci too in high school. I was really interested in it. I did some competitions as well for programming.
Oh, nice.
To represent our school. And I really wanted a career in coding. I was really interested in it, and particularly in hacking. This is a very little well-known fact, actually, or very little known fact. My name was Daedalus back in the day. That was my hacker moniker. And what I wanted to do was to actually be a white hat hacker.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a system. The black hat's like, you're out there being destructive. Gray hat's like, you'll do whatever serves you. And then the white hat is like, I'm going to get in your system and then present that to you and say, hey, this is a vulnerability. Pay me. I'll help you fix it. But, you know, I have ADD and sitting at a computer all day wasn't really the best choice for me. But here I am sitting at a computer all day anyways, I guess.
Right. But it's watching something that pulls you away from your ADD and demands your attention. So I think it works for you.
Exactly. For sure. And these companies, Dan, there's so much vulnerability. We assume that a company like Apple is so like airtight security. Let me tell you something. The bigger the system gets, the more complex, the more backdoors that you can exploit. So, I think for the future, these smaller cybersecurity firms that could get acquired are like really decent plays. I don't have any off the top of my mind symbols, but I think this warrants the start of the research in the sector.
Maybe I should do a quick search and see if there's any cybersecurity ETFs. That's usually what I like to push when I think an industry is going up.
There definitely are. You know what the play would be? Get long the ETF. Again, this is not financial advice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you really want to go to the court of law and tell your people you're suing a company called Financial Ineptitude? Really?
Exactly, so, exactly. Like,
long the ETF and then find a few of the riskier ones as well that didn't make it into the ETF to kind of have exposure to the industry. And then a little of those, like, put some play money into the names that have, you know, that aren't really liked as much, that are more risky, because those are the ones that are going to generate the return.
So the ETFs for cybersecurity are, the stock symbols are HACK, hack.
That's
CIBR, I'm assuming for cyber, BUG,
fixing bugs,
and IHAK, yeah.
Wow, these are very creative names.
Yeah, right? We got some great. There's four cybersecurity ETFs you could take a look at. Might be good for your long-term portfolio. Definitely a growth industry.
Oh, yeah.
And later, I'm going to look at some of those later and see if any of them have BlackBerry.
You know, that would be interesting to see which ones have exposure to. Look at the breakdown. What are their top 10 holdings? Because those are probably the companies that they believe in the most. See, like with ETFs, the cool thing is you don't have to do as much research. You don't have to like look through all the balance sheets and do this financial analysis yourself.
Yeah.
Find out what the ETFs are buying. Get a short list. Research those companies.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was trying when I was playing around with pot stocks was I was like, all right, which companies are in every ETF? Those are the ones that I want in my portfolio.
Absolutely. What are the top 10 holdings of HACK? Let me have a look at it here on ETF.com. Top 10 holdings, ETFMG, Cloudflare. I know that's a big one. Cisco Systems,
mm-hmm.
Fortinet, Splunk. That's a... Jeez. I splunked.
You know, I thought we had a clever name for a business with financial ineptitude, but we could have called it Splunk.
Missed opportunity there, Dan. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Gosh, really kicking myself.
You're splunking yourself over this.
Yeah, really splunking myself right now, George. Really splunking myself.
I'm splunked about this. But yeah, hey, that company is 2.86% of the holdings of HACK ETF. So somebody splunked into it.
Yeah, right? Good stuff. Okay. All right. Well, folks, we've talked your ear off about some news. Let's take a moment to talk about the lovely Sue Pullen. But wait, there's more.
Some loans are just a big mistake. Someone left unsaid. This is the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs. And you just have to call her, cause you know that she was born to be. She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up? Go, go, go.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages, Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states, so reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can send her an email at S-P-U-L-L-E-N at fairwaymc.com. That's S-Pullen at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206048. That email again is S-Pullen at fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. See what Sue could do for you.
Love it. Love the song, too. That's fantastic.
That's brand new. Made that just for her. I hope she enjoys it. I'm going to get a better recording with some real guitar and wrap that up for her real nice. We love you, Sue.
You, sir, are a creative genius.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I certainly like to have fun with music. And then I'd also like to take a moment and talk about how Two Bulls in a China Shop is a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. I don't know if you're aware of this, George, but Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced retail traders, independent traders, whatever traders you're out there, you can get great knowledge from them. You learn to trade just like the big institutions. They got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be successful. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com or just use our affiliate link in the episode description. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Love those guys. I hear they do good work.
Yeah, they're all right. They're all right. I mean,
yeah, decent.
I haven't found better, so, you know, I'll stick with them.
Why, thank you.
But the moment I find somebody better, yeah.
Gone. Hey, man, there's no loyalty in this business. Yeah, I'm okay
none,
with it.
None. Oh, no, you guys are the best.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you got it. All right, let's move on and talk about this week's crazy, crazy investing. That's right.
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy.
Right. So let's talk about, I know you mentioned specifically you had a bad Friday. I did some trading this week. I've been light on the trading on the show for the last couple of weeks because I kind of locked into some positions and ran out of powder and was just waiting. But I did manage to move out of some of my BlackBerry calls at a profit. I sold some of my $11 calls that I bought for an average of like 94 cents. And I sold them. I shrunk my position when they hit $1.05 or a dollar. I don't have my notes right here with me. I'm away from the desk, but and then I also managed to really repeat a mistake, and I'm really kicking myself. And I know it was the gambler in me. I was like, weekly AMC calls, and then they started going down, and I'm like, more weekly AMC calls, and they kept going down. I'm like, look how cheap these AMC calls are, and they expired at the end of the week, worthless. So.
This is a bargain.
Oh, it keeps going down, even cheaper. I can get more now. Yeah.
That's good. Hey, it happened.
Yeah. And Friday, I managed to sell them all for a penny. And they were like $5 out of the money with a half an hour till the close. And I was like, these people are crazy. If you want to, if you'll take anything for these, I'll take it.
Yeah. One. Did you get more than the commission?
Ameritrade actually doesn't charge commissions if they're under 5 cents.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Great. It's a great deal. Get your penny back. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, well, I'd rather have a dollar than nothing for each of these calls. So here we are.
Why not?
Exactly. Why not? Yeah. I really should have sold them in the morning. But I was doing the gambler thing. Like, you never know what can happen. I've seen AMC shoot up 30% in a day, but well,
yeah,
that day was not Friday.
that's okay. It's a learning lesson, right? And, That's the problem with some of these stocks. They move so much that the hope level could increase sizably as well. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. And I have to get it all out of my system, because once I'm not doing the 9 to 5, I've got my trade bro hat on and I can't do anything like that, because that's breaking so many rules.
Yeah. You're breaking more rules than there are to follow. Like,
yeah. Unwritten rules that no one's heard of yet. I'm breaking them.
You're making and breaking them, which is a creative approach for sure. I didn't have a much better week. Here I am giving you shit, but like, I didn't do great myself. I can share.
Yeah, it's your turn to share.
Man, this was a rough week. So I don't often talk about numbers like this precisely, but for some reason, this feels like a trusting, like, safe space. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it then. Like, in the summertime, I don't do as well. I'm a volatility trader. So when markets are moving, good day for George. Markets aren't moving, tough day for George.
Mm-hmm.
And I, probably the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks or so, I did pretty good in the summer markets, 55K or so.
Nice.
And this week alone, I burned out 30 of it. So,
ouch. Okay. Well,
yeah, it was stupid. I think we need to be talked about. So I feel this is going to be a little bit of therapy for me as well. On Monday is when some of that trouble happened. Like, here's the thing. I've been doing this for so long that when I'm about to have a disastrous day, I know it. Like, I feel it. Like, if you look at some of, shameless plug, one of the podcasts I just recorded on ours talks about this, like metrics that you could use in your trading that tell you a disaster's coming before it happens.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I look at these metrics, and one of those metrics, look, everybody likes a win rate. I win 90% of my trades. Mm-hmm. Okay, fantastic. How much risk do you take per trade? What is the RR, risk to reward, right? It's like just going deep into your performance, because those numbers tell you where you're getting away with things you shouldn't be. And so leading up to, you know, doing over the 50,000 there in just a 6 week period in a slow market condition, part of the reason I got that high in a slow market is because I was sizing up. Right. I usually trade 8 to 10 contracts in the summer. I have rules that in summer markets, I actually change my entire trading strategy. I change the size. I change the risk I'm taking, because if there's not as much opportunity, I shouldn't be taking that much risk.
Oh, yeah.
So what I was doing is I was increasing my size, trying to compensate for it. For some reason, I got anchored into the money and not the process. And every time I think about making money while I trade, I lose it. When I'm just thinking about, hey, let me just follow what the chart is saying. Forget the money. The money comes. Let me just look at the chart. That's the leading indicator. It's not your profit. I do well. But what happened is, Dan, I kind of started to, had some really good weeks in slow conditions, but I was sizing up for it. I was putting on some pretty big positions. And if when I look at my statistics, the warnings are there. You know what I mean? Like, average size bigger than much normal. Holding of losing trades longer than my average. Like, historically, I'm talking multi-month average.
Yeah.
Having drawdowns, starting in a drawdown, the last 12 sessions before Monday, I started down 8 out of the 12. So it's like, there's things slapping me in the face here saying, like, what are you doing? And, you know, I got in trouble. I sized up, sized up more. And then by the time I kind of caught myself, it was just a really nasty week as a whole.
Yeah.
So I look at this and I tell myself, hey, look, I'm teaching people how not to do this at TradePro Academy, and I've done it myself. And one way, it's like, it's disappointing to me personally. I've been in the game a long time. But another way, it's like, look, this is human. And like, even if I'm in the industry this long and I run into the probability of this happening, I should have caught it, should have nipped it in the bud before it happened. But the fact that I was liable to this, it kind of gave me the opportunity to be like, look, talk to people about this, because the perception out there is when you become a great trader, You
always win.
You don't no longer do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm human, and the human animal is a stupid animal. I mean,
oh, yeah. You know.
And so it's not about removing stupidity. It's about embracing it and catching it early. So that's kind of how, you know, this is a great time to be doing this podcast, because I wanted to be open about it. Like you guys say, look, it is a risky business. And no matter how long you do it, you have those moments. And I think the biggest thing that I did then was decide to stop digging myself a hole. I threw the shovel away. And you look at minus 30,000 this week, like, my son was sick. I was getting 2.5 hours of sleep. I also wasn't going to the gym. Like, I missed my two sessions with my personal trainer. I was eating crap. Like, there was everything there telling me that I shouldn't be trading in big size. It's a performance sport. If you're not feeling well, you shouldn't be playing the top line and taking these risky plays, you know?
Right.
And I did it. And I learned my lesson. And I look back, it's like, hey, if I actually would have made money this week, it would have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I would have lost even more the following week. So I love that the market keeps you honest. So I look at this, and this week, and all I'm working on is, okay, the $30,000 is gone. I'm not going to dwell over that. I've lost more than that before on a single day.
Yeah, right.
I've done well as well in the past. So it's like, put that aside and now use this as an opportunity to fix the true causes of what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why it's exciting. It's an opportunity for me to constantly improve. So yeah, that's kind of my week. It was a horrible week while it was happening, but in retrospect, it was a thankful week for keeping me honest in this business.
Well, hey, I was right there with you buying those AMC calls. Like, I think they were quotes and numbers I bought. I picked up a few when they were $3.50. And then they went down to $2.50. I picked up a few the next day. I was already breaking my own rules of buying at same week expiry, not lotto style, like, oh, it's Friday, they expire today. Let me try the lotto ticket. No, I mean, I was buying them and I knew when I made that first purchase, there was a voice in the back of my head was like, oh, get them for next week.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't want them for next week because those are too expensive. I want to get the cheaper ones. I trusted to move this week. And then when it went down, I forgot all about that inner dialogue and then made a new decision of it's still going to go big. So I'll put more in, not, oh, they expire this week. This is risky. I'm already in too much risk. You know, I didn't. And then I broke the rules. Like when it hit the 2% of my portfolio of losses, I didn't sell them. I doubled down. You know, I had this voice in the back of my head aware that like, Dan, you know how to trade better. You know how to trade better. And I just kept ignoring it over and over again. And it's just like it really resonates when you're like, yeah, I'm human. I've got all this, you know, I've got human psychology I have to deal with. We all have our own demons and battles. And part of what I didn't expect to happen when we started this show and started stock trading was how much self-reflection and psychology and self-improvement I have to go through that have nothing to do with stocks or options or futures or any of that. It's just all life stuff that I have to conquer to be successful at trading. It's really, really big stuff. Yeah. As people, we're never done with that. Backsliding in the old bad habits, easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really gold what you said there, Dan. It's like personal development isn't a one and done approach. It's like you got to constantly do it. It's like, It's sort of like your car. You fill up your gas tank once. You don't expect to drive, 60,000 miles
forever.
It's like, oh, yeah, I filled up my gas tank. Yay. And I'm going to keep driving till I need a brake job. No, it doesn't work like that. You got to fill it up, regularly. And I think you have the human being has a tank that if it gets ignored, you're going to run on E. Eventually, you're going to lose control and crash. And I think you got to constantly replenish. But it's like, it's mind-boggling to me after trading from 2001. Like, I can't believe how fast that time passed. But 20 years, Dan, this is all I've ever known. and I still fall to this thing. I fall victim to it, right. And even when there's opportunities for me to change, I still get these days that happen and there's like an enormous loss. It's like, what the hell was I? Who was trading? It didn't feel like it was me. And that's usually a sign. You need personal development. And I've been ignoring it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I give you an analogy?
Yeah.
It's like your best friend in your backyard sawing off their leg for no good reason. Like, it's not like the movie where they were stuck in a rock and they had that, life or death. They're just cross-legged sitting in your backyard, like sawing off their leg. And you go up to them and you're like, dude, what the heck are you doing? And you know what he tells you? He's like, just give me a bigger saw. I got to get this done faster. It's like, it's like, this is how the human psychology is for some reason. Yeah. Once you anchor to something and a belief, you're going to continue to do things to serve that belief. Like for you, your second addition to that position wasn't a logical one. It was, let me just get the hell out of my first one. You know what I mean? It's like spending good money after bad. And I know how that goes. I had the same week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Give me a bigger saw. Give me the chainsaw. Damn it. Don't help me.
All right. Yeah. Now's the time that we talk about upcoming earnings. Usually Kyle's the one with the earnings list. Let's see if I can pull one up here. All right. I got one.
Can I do the earnings segment?
Yes.
Go to financeyahoo.com and pull up the calendar.
Hold on. We got a little tune for it.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll
wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the common earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call to life.
Yeah, so finance.yahoo.com has a nice earnings calendar. A lot of places have an earnings calendar. Is there a big names reporting though?
I'm looking at one. I guess CrowdStrike Holdings is coming up. Smith and Wesson Brands. Hey, you know, gun companies always do well under a Democratic president.
I should take a shot at it.
Yeah, boom. But I'm bumped. Smith & Wesson on the first.
That joke.
Chewy Incorporated, Ryan Cohen's old company. I don't know if he's still on the board there or not, probably. They're post-market on the first. Campbell Soup is on the first. Everybody's eating soup. No, I don't know. That wouldn't normally be one I'd mention. got Hormel Foods on the second. You know, Kyle did say that he updated his notes, but when I went on the Google Drive, it was all for last week, so... Kyle, when you're listening, the reason I didn't read your earnings is I couldn't find them.
Kyle, we butchered the earnings segment for this show. We're admitting to it. But I will tell you this. It's a good thing because you told me not to F it up and not to do too great.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going on the territory of doing too great there. So this is good. You got what you wanted,
yeah,
Kyle.
We coordinated this ahead of time, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this was planned. Of course, right?
All right.
Let's bomb the earnings segment.
Let's bomb the earnings segment. We are running a little long, but that's per usual. I'm going to have to cut this down to a tight hour. But I would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to talk about cryptocurrencies and maybe get some levels for Bitcoin and Ethereum. So we're going to have to.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it.
Of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
You hit that high note pretty good. Good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The recording tunes for this show has made me flex out of my vocal comfort zone so much. Because I'm a baritone singer, and I don't usually go for those high notes, but every now and then I can get it.
Venturing out into unknown.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. How is Ethereum doing? I know Bitcoin's the big daddy, but I think Ethereum's the long-term runner that's gonna really be the king in a while.
Yeah, they're pretty well correlated, Ethereum and Bitcoin. Their correlation factor is pretty close. So they tend to move lockstep, basically. But Ethereum's got some pretty big resistance here, Dan, coming up. Well, not quite yet, but you know, there's some point of controls here, some spikes and some gaps in Ethereum. Right around 3560 or so is a good, it's like an up there target. Some resistance starting at 3470-ish up to 3550. See that as a good distribution area, but on a pullback for some good support levels, you know which ones I really like? 30, 43, and then if you get a pullback, 29, that would be ideal, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Are you just looking over the last few months?
You know, I'm actually looking at it on a 1 hour chart. I'm just trending this up move that, you know, happened from below 2000, it was like 1700 or so. This up move has been pretty impressive. What I do is I look at it on an hourly chart, volume profiles, like a point of controls, like consolidation areas, and look for the levels there.
You know, I was looking at Ethereum last December, like when it was like 700, and I was like, I'm going to wait for the pullback. And then it's never been that low ever since.
You know, the pullbacks are elusive on crypto. You know, when it was trading at 60K on Bitcoin, like 60, 61, I was saying, I'm going to wait for 32,000. People thought I was nuts.
You're right.
Like, 32,000? What the hell is wrong with you? And it got there, and it stood there for a while. I never really got in. I don't know. I kind of missed the boat on it again. And I certainly don't want to get in now, even though knowing like crypto is an asset, once it starts going, it doesn't really give you pullbacks. You know, not yeah. sizable ones that I like. So I'm on the sideline watching. Yep.
Yeah, me too. I just think Ethereum's got the staying power. We did just find out, Kyle found a website. We can create our own cryptocurrency. So we are in, we started talks. We are anticipating a launch of that someday. And that'll probably make me invest in more cryptocurrencies, having our own China shop.
Oh my God, I got so many different cryptocurrency ideas. It's wild. A lot of them are inappropriate, but
hey,
but good.
I'm all for it. I love inappropriate.
No, you want to hear some of them?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
I was thinking about shitcoin, and this one would be a way to collateralize toilet paper production across the world.
Oh my God. Yes.
Then I was thinking the online adult industry needs a little bit of improvement. And then I thought of Clickcoin.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Flipcoin for gambling. You might have to edit this part out. I don't know.
No. I've said some really, really horrific shit on this show before.
I've heard it. Yeah.
We were talking about the bullish coin because it looks like bullshit.
Oh, bullcoin.
Yeah.
Bullcoin. Nice. Yeah. Back to Bitcoin. Some levels I see here.
Yeah. Bitcoin.
On Bitcoin. Yeah. I like 57K to the upside on Bitcoin. There's a lot of resistance there. For like a target, and then the pickup on the way down I've been watching is 44, but that's already kind of played out. I would love if it went down to 42, but I think that's where I'll probably do my first long position in Bitcoin. And if it doesn't get down there, I'm not going to chase it. But those are two levels I'm watching. 44 and 42 could be two very interesting levels for a run up to 57. That's what the chart's telling me. I don't know.
Yeah. Bitcoin's a mystery to me. I'm not even going to mention it because I can't remember the name. Anyway, now's the time in the episode when we like to slap iron. I don't know if you're a big Western fan up in Canada, if you even know who Clint Eastwood is.
We know Clint Eastwood, but yeah. I didn't get that reference.
That's the theme to the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So, we wrap up the show talking about our own good, bad, and ugly for the week. My good,
you start.
My good was absolutely 100% putting in my notice on Monday that I'm not working a 9-to-5. I'm taking a new job as a trade pro working for myself. That was hands down good for me. And the sense of relief of the pressure from all the work stress just melted away. And I think people at work can tell that I'm like totally, I'm zoned out. Like I'm not trying anymore.
Well, congrats on the transition. That's awesome. Very proud of you and happy for you. More important.
What was your good for the week? I think I've got an idea of what I would say it was based on what we've talked about today, but I want to hear what your idea is.
I have a few goods. One good is being on the show and getting a chance to co-host, so thank you. The other good is hearing the news that you're leaving. But the best good for me is actually the loss that I took this week. I'm looking at this as a good thing. It gives me a chance to improve. Volatility is coming into the markets. So, you know, it's keeping me prepared, and this needed to happen. So I see it as a positive. I'm very excited about coming back stronger and better post this little slip up.
For sure.
You know, I'm over it. I'm ready to do better.
Well, I was just going to say, like, the fact that you stopped, that you hit that point where you're like, oh, wow, I'm in a behavior pattern that is very bad. Like, I think that's being able to, like, recognize that and even get yourself to the space where you're like, oh, this is what I need to do. That's an amazing thing that a lot of, I know myself didn't start doing until this past year.
Yeah, it's hard to learn that, and that's something you don't even think you would ever need to learn, right? But here we are. Yeah, that was my good. My bad is, you know, more of a personal thing. It's just I've been sort of a lot of other stuff in my life are preventing me from being at optimal performance. Got a bit of a cold. I don't know if you could tell.
Yeah.
You know, it's not COVID, but thankfully. And the life situation at home is a bit tough. We lost our babysitter, so we're looking for some help. My wife and I both are entrepreneurs, so it's been kind of hectic.
Yeah.
And the ugly. Nothing's really ugly.
Well, that is an acceptable answer. I know my bad was buying calls that expire 5 days away, and it wasn't a day trade, and holding them overnight. And my ugly was buying more of them twice.
That's an acceptable answer.
Yeah, that was really ugly. And it's ugly because I know better. I was violating my own principles. I wasn't, like you said, I wasn't following the process. I was looking for profit. And if I'd been following the process, I would be in a lot better shape.
Can I flip that to a good, though? Because the good about that is that's probably the best way to end your trading career while being a full-time employee as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, if you needed a reminder of what not to do, this is it. And it's fresh in your mind, you know? So I see that as good, honestly, as long as, you know, we take the learnings, apply them, move forward. Next time we do this podcast, hope.
Yeah, that's exactly why we do the good, the bad, and the ugly, is by admitting the ugly thing, we can turn it into a future good.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right, shop fans, it's the moment you've been waiting for. We're going to make a new bet. That's right. Well, since I lost, I got to go first, and I'm going to pick AMC. And I know that I just lost a bunch of money on those calls with AMC, but I think at the very least next week, it's going to see if it can break the $48 resistance. So I will say I'm going to buy it at open on Monday, and if it hits 48, I'm gonna sell half, and with a standard, I'm just gonna do a 50-cent stop loss. Once it hits 48, I'll kick in the sell and do the stop loss. Otherwise, if it gets down to 38, I'm gonna sell out, and that'll be my bet. AMC, 38 below, sell half at 48 above.
That's awesome. And not load up on the loss.
Yeah.
I got to do one for Kyle, right?
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, here we go. So on behalf of Kyle, I'm going to say short hack on the open on Monday and ride it down until 63.28 and then reverse that to a long position.
Wow, that, you know what's funny is that's the exact kind of bet Kyle would throw out there. It's like,
well, I got into Kyle mentality.
Yeah, you totally did. Like, oh yeah, I'll short it and think it's down here, and then I'll buy. Yeah, Kyle's always looking for multiple steps. Do you have a stop limit for, like, if it opens and you short it and it goes up?
Since this is Kyle's money, I'm doing it with. I'm gonna say no. We're going to say a hard no. We're going to just short without a stop. And then maybe this is going to be his ugly in a few.
I love it. I love it. I
I got to put a stop on. I shivered when I said that. Cover the short at
65.28. Okay. Oh, fair enough. And then now I have to find a random stock with my slow-ass internet. Are you fucking kidding me? No way. It loaded Bitcoin? That's not a stock.
Hey, we did talk about it.
We did.
It is random.
All right. Well, you know what? There we go. Random is doing Bitcoin. I love it. It's never done that before.
Long Bitcoin?
Yeah. We normally roll some dice. Kyle's got some website. But I loaded up GitHub, some things somebody's got on GitHub, and it seems to be working. Yeah, I guess it's long Bitcoin. All right, random is long Bitcoin, and
this is it.
Disastrous. It might set us up for a big loss for the month of September. Okay, all right, folks. So stay tuned next week. We'll
happy I could help
get those. We'll have those bet results. It is time to close up the shop. Sadly, we got to kick everybody out. You got to go home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We'll be back at you soon with that month in review. And until then, happy trades, folks.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.